African-American people have been calling the White House. They have never been so happy as what a president has done. Not only the lowest unemployment in history for African-Americans, not only opportunity zones for really the biggest beneficiary of the inner city, and not only criminal justice reform, but they're so happy that I pointed out the corrupt politics of Baltimore. It's filthy dirty. It's so horrible. And they are happy as hell.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
The President of the United States and his 7% approval rate among African Americans, touting his success yesterday in painting an actual hero of the civil rights movement, Elijah Cummings, is a racist and pointing out how terribly dirty Baltimore. I lived in Baltimore for a year and a half. Baltimore's like any big city. Baltimore's got problems. But Baltimore's inner harbor is beautiful. Baltimore's neighborhoods are beautiful. Suburbs are beautiful. You know, it's like saying Chicago is filthy, dirty, and rat-infested. New York is filthy, dirty, and rat-infested. By the way, health inspectors in New York City found a major rat problem in a Trump Tower in New York. And Jared Kushner is an apartment landlord and owns a ton of apartment buildings in Baltimore. And it's been in and around Baltimore. It's been well documented the past couple of days. The violations that they have logged, whether it's infestations of critters or other problems. So, once again, Trump off the deep end. You know, Rick Pearson joins us now. Rick Pearson, finest political writer in America. And Rick Pearson, host of the Sunday Spin. Hi, buddy.
Hey, good morning.
You know what I found most Trumpian about that little rant there? The idea that people call the White House and get him or get his people directly. So they can just call up and tell him how thrilled they are with him.
Well, it's a common theme. I mean, whenever he is kind of backed into that kind of a corner, he talks about, you know, the farmers that are calling to support him on the issue of payments to make up for losses from the tariffs with China. And then you start asking for specifics, you know, who called, you know, who whatever, then there's silence. So, I mean, it's just part of the rhetoric that, unfortunately, we're all becoming so numb to.
I don't for a minute, and you know this about me, I don't for a minute buy that he has strategy. And this constant harangue I've been hearing from all the news channels, frankly, about how he's solidifying his base. His 30% aren't going anywhere. He doesn't need to solidify anything. His 30% are going to be there. His 30% are going to show up and vote. The question is, will the 60 to 70% who want him out show up?
Yeah, and that's the, you know, when you look at that base, you're absolutely right. It's not going anywhere. He's got that. But it kind of defies the normal logic of politics, is that as a candidate, you know what your base is, and then you work to grow that base. Mm-hmm. What I do think what you're seeing, though, is that, yes, he knows he's got that 30%, whatever, 40%. Now it's just all going to be trying to knock down the opposition and paint them in the worst light, trying to reduce turnout on the other side, trying to take those independents who may have questions and raise real concerns in their mind about voting for a Democrat.
That's the key to this entire thing. And whether you watch the debates last night, tonight, or don't watch them at all. And by the way, I wouldn't blame you if you don't, because people aren't going to get engaged till next summer, not this summer. But the fact of the matter is, Donald Trump didn't go off on this deep end and paint himself as a racist because he likes being called a racist. It's because he has no self-control and he watches too much TV. And you can see in a real-time reaction when he reacts to Fox News. And that's exactly what this Elijah Cummings thing started with.
Absolutely. It was a video of some of the bad conditions that exist in Baltimore. As you said, they exist in every city. In this case, it was Baltimore. And he finds, you know, what in his mind is a convenient foil by going after Elijah Cummings. And, you know, this is a congressman who's had great stature on Capitol Hill, who actually is known as somebody, even as chairman of oversight, which can be a very rough partisan committee, but even as chairman of oversight, has had a very good working relationship with Republicans or members of the committee. So it's been kind of interesting to see, once again, a lack of response among Republican members in Congress when he picks on someone who I wouldn't say is an icon, but somebody who kind of upholds that standard of trying to work across the aisle.
And a guy on that Republican side who was called a racist, who Elijah Cummings went out of his way during the Cohen hearings to defend. What has he said to defend his friend, Elijah Cummings?
Yeah. Mark Meadows, and he basically said that, you know, I know Elijah Cummings, he's a friend, he's not a racist, but then went on to say, but I don't believe the president is a racist either. And when you have that kind of meme of constant attacks on members of Congress who are people of color in very, very pointed rhetoric, to say that the president is not a racist, those remarks are racist. There's no parsing here. It's not, well, what he meant to say was. No, that he said what he meant to say. And so people are not exactly satisfied with Meadows' statement.
By the way, I heard something yesterday, I suppose. I've lost track of the time. Of somebody going, black people can't be racist. Anybody can be a racist. If you believe you're better than somebody else or somebody's less than you based on the color of their skin, you're a racist. That's not not defined by color.
Absolutely, absolutely. One interesting thing I thought, and the president has taped an interview with C-SPAN where he said that the word racist is getting bandied about so much that it's lost its meaning.
No, it hasn't.
But here again, in this pattern that we've seen of this president about, getting numb to these kind of statements, is that really happening? Just when you think it can't go any worse, there's always some kind of new kind of statement. And it's just this constant churning that he creates that after a while you do wonder, are people even paying attention to it?
The Democrats continue to be in a giant clown car and trying to figure out what they're going to do and who's going to drive. Tonight, night two of this debate, doubleheader, will feature Biden and Kamala Harris and others. Biden still has a large lead, if you believe the early polls, yes?
Yes. And in fact, it was kind of interesting in night one last night that Biden's name didn't even come up. It seemed like, here was the opportunity of the two leaders of the progressive side to have a chance to kind of go after Biden in absentia, and Biden's name didn't come up. So it'll be interesting to see kind of in some respects, a rematch between Biden and Kamala Harris.
The incredible cowardice that's been shown by the Republicans in Congress, to me, is unprecedented. Having said that, the Democrats, not exactly backbone types either, because they continue to dip their toes in the water of impeachment or actual punishment for bad behavior in the executive branch by saying things like, Rick, we're troubled by that. And we're going to need to examine that and all the other political cliches that you've heard for way too many years. What is an impeachment inquiry versus an impeachment proceeding?
That's really parsing things. I mean, you can argue right now that what House Judiciary is doing under Democrat Jerry Nadler, you can argue that what they're doing is basically an impeachment inquiry. In fact, the committee went so far as to try to subpoena documents and explicitly told the court that their right to get these documents fell under their purview of the Articles of Impeachment in the Constitution. So we're seeing an impeachment inquiry. It's just Nadler would like to give it the full-blown blessing of being called an impeachment inquiry.
Can you hang with me for a second?
Sure.
All right, more with Rick Pearson coming up. What's on the Sunday Spin this week? Do you know yet?
We're still putting the show together, but we'll certainly take a review of the debate action from last night and tonight, as well as we'll be taking a look at a story that the BGA did about the billions of dollars that have gone into O'Hare Airport and what are we actually getting for all of that money.
Everybody should get nuts. Everyone should get at least one bag of peanuts, don't you think? Come on. More with Rick Pearson.
They're taking those away, too.
Yes, they are. More with Rick Pearson in a second. Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com, TV, of course, and on the radio, Dave. He does a great job every Sunday morning on the Sunday Spin. And it kicks off your Sunday morning politics, if you're into that. And all that is running the country in your lives.
There's no preparation. The details don't work. You can't just spring a plan on the world and expect it to succeed.
You know, I don't understand why anybody goes to all the trouble of running for president of the United States just to talk about what we really can't do and shouldn't fight for.
To the Steve Cochran Show.
Rick Pearson with us. I'll tell you what, if you ever need to know anything about politics, I mean, I don't know what Rick knows about, you know, changing the oil on a car.
Actually, I think he knows a lot.
I don't know. He knows about trigonometry. But if you want to know about politics, no trig.
No, not at all.
Is Elizabeth Warren making any inroads?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, I think as we've seen with the Democrats, and we used to call it, you know, the insurgent versus the establishment, and now it's purely progressive versus moderate. I think the Democratic struggle is trying to find a progressive who's pragmatic. And a couple of issues that came up on stage last night with Warren particularly, but also with Bernie Sanders about decriminalizing the border, Medicare for all, with that means you would lose your private health insurance. Even Warren saying that she would adopt a policy of no first nuclear strike by the United States if an ally was tech. You know, those are things that certainly give fodder to Republicans. And as I said earlier about, you know, if your base isn't growing, then you have to go after your opponents. And I think there was plenty of fodder there for Republicans. Her comeback line that, you know, if you're kind of this naysayer, you're just echoing Republican talking points, you're going to hear that a lot. I mean, she's a very powerful speaker. You know, Bernie was flapping his arms as he normally does, and in some respects, it's almost as if Elizabeth Warren has almost eclipsed Bernie Sanders as that kind of once insurgent candidate. But yeah, the bottom line struggle, and I'm not sure that any of those moderates on stage did much to hurt that progressive cause. Pete Buttigieg, you know, obviously, I think is still a very valid contender there because he also tries to play the fact that if you want someone knowledgeable, maybe not as progressive, but certainly someone of a new generation and a new generational change, he could be that candidate. Beto O'Rourke, I think has pretty much flared out, and now we'll see going into night two what the next 10 candidates bring us.
So much of this is a kabuki theater, because the powers of the president are not known or realized until you become the president. And you can promise the world. It doesn't mean you're going to get any of it through Congress. You don't know what the makeup of Congress will be. So really all this is about is what you stand for, not what you'll get done.
Yeah, and you know, let's face it too, if you're going to be a president with an active agenda, you're going to need 60 Democrats in the Senate.
Right.
As well as, you know, having control of the House. One of the interesting lines I thought last night was that, you know, in the 40-some seats that flipped from Republican to Democrat in the midterms last year, that really none of those candidates running for Congress were espousing as progressive an agenda as you're seeing coming from the top, from Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren.
People don't want private insurance to go away. The Medicare for All thing, that's something that should have been done before Obamacare was rolled out. Not now. I don't understand why this is attractive in the same way that I don't understand why people don't understand you can't just give everybody free college.
Right. And, you know, part of the issue of private insurance really, you know, ties to the Democratic allies and the unions who, you know, wanted to make that part of negotiations, particularly, you know, in the auto industry. This could have been something that could have been accomplished years ago and wasn't for that very reason. And obviously some of the questioning last night, you know, in Detroit, Motor City is, you know, you've got auto workers that they like the health insurance that they've gotten bargained through their union. They don't want to have to give that up.
Exactly. All right. So as we go into tonight, Biden, does he need to make a splash or just not blow up?
Both. And one is to see what is his kind of back and forth with Kamala Harris after the last the first go round where the issue she kind of trumped him on that issue of his support, his opposition to busing to achieve racial balance in public schools. It'll be interesting to see how they relate to each other on the stage, and I think that's what everybody's looking at. And as you point out, you know, it is Uncle Joe. You never know, quite frankly, sometimes what he's going to say. So it'll be interesting to see if he really comes at this in calm, measured tones. It's his stage to command if he wants it.
If you believe, as I do, that there's a Six Flags between Trump's ears and most of the rides are broken, you know that one of the things that really lights him up is his tax return stuff. Yesterday, the governor of California signed a bill that said you're not getting on the ballot unless you show the public your tax returns. I assume that'll be court challenged?
Yeah, it will be court challenged. Gavin Newsom had been kind of seesawing on that issue ultimately before signing it. You've also got the issue going on in the New York court system over Trump's tax returns there and the Trump trying to fight the release of those. But yeah, it will come down to an issue, constitutional issue of qualifications for office. There are states' rights issues involved here. So it'll be an interesting read to see how the courts really do decide this.
What is happening in the city of Chicago that we need to be paying attention to?
Well, I mean, we're kind of waiting to see what, quite frankly, I think number one is Mayor Lightfoot and a new budget, and she's already made steps to move, delay issuing her budget proposal. Obviously, she said things are worse off than it was, you know, when I ran for office. I didn't know all these things, but we don't really have any kind of idea of the magnitude of how bad things are, let alone what her plans are to try to make up for the financial mess that we've got in this city. And that's something everybody just needs to keep an eye out for.
And what are the Pritzker people busy with other than ignoring requests for interviews?
Well, he's busy still on a various bill signing tour yesterday. Enhanced penalties for Scott's Law, which requires motorists to move over when they see emergency vehicles at the side of the road. Obviously, a response to some of the tragedies we've seen involving Illinois state troopers on the roads this year. But, you know, we've got the issue of steroids going on out in the western suburbs and ethylene oxide emissions. There's kind of a court battle going on over that. There are all kinds of things. We're not getting any kind of summer break, that's for sure.
It's you never get a break. That's why it's so great to have you on, because you know stuff and we don't. Rick Pearson.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Steve.
Sunday Spin, 7 a.m. every Sunday morning. Do not miss it. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Chicago Tribune, chicagotribune.com, at RAP30, RAP30, all over your social media situation.